A very warm welcome to tonight's meeting, and thank you all to the residents who have taken time to attend. In order for me to conduct an orderly meeting, my expectations are there is respectful silence when people are speaking. There should be no heckling or any form of disturbance. If there is continuous disturbance, I may order the removal of specific individuals from the meeting or clearance of the public gallery. I wrote to members to remind you about the conduct during meetings, and I expect that you've read its content and will adhere to it. As a reminder, please ensure that you allow fellow councillors to give their speeches without any interruptions or heckling. While speeches are being delivered, all other councillors should remain seated unless rising on a point of order or personal explanation. May I remind you that the members must not approach the Mayor at top table. I will remind you also that the Mayor, when I'm speaking, you're required to listen and not attempt to speak over me. My ruling on standing orders is final, and members are expected to respect this. Failure to do so may result in me asking you to leave the meeting. So thank you, and let us get on with business this evening. Item 1, apologies for absence.
Madam Mayor, apologies were received from councillors Rebecca Harvey, Lisa Homan, Rachel Layton, Andrew Jones, Sue McMillan, and Patricia Quigley. I have no apologies for lateness, but Councillor Carmel.
Mayor, apologies from Councillor Brocklebank Fowler, who is battling the flu.
Thank you. Item 2, declarations of interest. Are there any declarations of interest?
Mayor, yes? In accordance with Standing Order 26A, I hereby propose the suspension of the rules to allow an officer presentation before the special motion on Harwood Terrace is moved. The presentation will be followed by 2 questions each from the administration and opposition councillors on the content of the presentation.
So I now put the motion to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? Those not voting? Okay. I declare the motion carried. I call upon Bram Keynes, Chief Officer of Public Realm, to give the officer presentation.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the Council, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Bram Katz. I'm the Chief Officer for Public Realm, and thank you for allowing me to deliver this short presentation for Harwood Terrace Experiment. I'm going to start off with the wider context and just give you a feel and then drill down into Harwood Terrace. If you take the area and zoom out and look at where traffic is coming in from, in terms of Surrey, M25, down the A3, and then it nips across Wandsworth Bridge Road. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I need to be clicking too big. The presentation, the plan shows how if you zoom out of the wider area and you look at where traffic is coming into the SW6 area, you can see that it's actually coming from Surrey, the M25, down the M3, then it nips across into Wandsworth Bridge Road. And that's how, I would say, 92% of the traffic is actually coming into the W6 area. As I said, 92% of the traffic is coming from outside of Hammersmith and Fulham. About 1,000 to 1,500 vehicles per hour cross Wandsworth Bridge, northbound at peak times. Half of the traffic actually goes straight down Wandsworth Bridge Road, and we know that from measuring traffic at Studridge Street Junction. The other half goes left and right through residential roads, like Bagley's Lane, Harwood Terrace. And one of the key things I like to point out is that if you use Google Maps or Waze, there's always going to be you're always going to get navigated to the best route. So depending on the traffic stress in the area, you'll get told and directed through residential streets. And the key point I want to make from this slide is that actually 25% of the traffic that crosses Wandsworth Bridge is actually hitting Harwood Terrace in terms of northbound traffic. This is an example of what everybody can actually look up. So if you look up on your phone, you can see traffic stress points happening throughout the day. And this is the red bits show where there's under a lot of stress, and then it varies in terms of different colour coding. And you can tell, and that dictates where traffic goes through the area, etc. And that is quite common, and that's the same principle that's used by Waze. Moving on to Harwood Terrace, it's actually a short residential road, about 90 metres long. It's got 40 terraced houses on it. The traffic surveys show at peak times around 540 vehicles per hour were using this route. It's busy throughout the day. The accident records along the route from April 2016 to March 2019 are 28 accidents and 31 injuries. And that involves 9 cyclists and 6 pedestrians. This plan actually shows how the traffic from Wandsworth Bridge goes down Townsmead Road and then to Imperial Road and then used to go down Harwood Terrace and then either went down Waterford Road or Edith Row. The experimental closure was introduced on the 21st of October for a period of 6 months. Petitions and deputations have been received for and against. We've had Community Safety, Environment Policy and Accountability Committee held on the 28th of January 2020 to receive deputations. And we've also had a special PAC held on the 10th of February 2020. Informal residence meetings were also held on the 31st of January, and we've also had SW6 Traffic Working Party made up of residents for and against the scheme that met on the 17th and the 24th of February 2020. This is a close-up of the actual Harwood Terrace closure, and you can see from the Google traffic stress the stress that's existing on Bagley's Lane going into New King's Road. This is the all the traffic data we collected before the closure, and it was carried out between the 31st of May and the 6th of June 2019. And immediately after the closure, we started doing observation surveys on queue waiting times, and these were carried out on the 21st of November to the 27th of November, 19th of December, as well as the 9th of January to the 14th of January, immediately after the closure, to actually monitor the experiment immediately from straight away, etc., from the closure when it's put in. There's also traffic data collected during the closure, which was a 7-day, 24-hour automatic traffic counts, and they were carried out between the 3rd of February to the 9th of February on the following streets and locations. We also collected 7 days, 24-hour right-turning counts from Wandsworth Bridge Road on the 3rd of February to the 9th of February on those roads, yes, to monitor how much of the traffic was actually going down those roads as a result of the Harwood Terrace closure. Residents have also requested that we actually undertake traffic data surveys for Boddington Road, Cressford Road, Broughton Road and Piercroft Road as well. This slide compares the traffic data that we collected before the closure and then during the experimental closure. And the key thing to note is that the traffic on Bagley's Lane, south of New King's Road, has actually increased by 25.7%. This is a seven-day total traffic flow. So it's comparison of 7 days before and then 7 days afterwards. This graph shows the weekday queue delay, and you can see that from about 6 to 7 p.m. you start getting a rise in the queue delays, and then it dips off, and then there's a various tapers off during the rest of the day. This is a queue actually on Bagley's Lane itself. The next slide actually shows the queue length, which sort of mirrors the queue delay. That's actually shown in terms of minutes, and this is the queue length in terms of metres from the traffic light at Bagley's Lane, at the junction of New Kings Road, going back into Bagley's Lane. This slide is the same information, but it's done for the weekends. And I did compare the Saturday and Sunday information, and it's very similar. So what I've shown is the average delay for the weekends, and you can see that actually the similar sort of thing happens, but it happens later in the day. So it's starting to happen around about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10 to 11, etc. And we've got the similar information for the queue lengths on the weekends, and it shows how the queue, there's still queuing happening on Saturdays and Sundays at Bagley's Lane. Here we've looked at the bus journey times, and the grey column on the left-hand side is the bus journey times before the closure. And most of the bus journey surveys were done on every Monday, I think. And then you can see the various dates the bus journey surveys were done. What I've indicated there is try to pick the worst journey time for the bus on that particular day. So, for example, on the 4th of November, the worst journey time for any of the buses that went down that route on that day would be 17 minutes and 16 seconds. Yeah. And that would be between the bus stops on Imperial Road and Trolley Road. So the key findings from the experiment is that we've got 92% of the traffic from outside of Hammersmith and Fulham. We've got increased traffic queues on Bagley's Lane, approaching New Kings Road, and as I stated before, is 25.7% of the total seven-day traffic flow. We've had delays to buses 306, 391 and 424, and these are the buses that travel along Bagley's Lane. We've also had traffic delays reported across the SW6 area. This slide shows how the PCNs that are issued for the Yellow Box Junction on the junction of Bagley's Lane and New Kings Road initially spiked in November. But the latest figures, as you can see in February, is that we've only issued 530 PCNs to the 21st of February. So on that basis, I think that brief spike is coming back to normality at this junction. From this information, we're also able to glean where the drivers are coming from. So from this information on the PCNs, we can work out that 92% of the PCNs issued were to non-Hammersmith and Fulham residents. The last point I'd like to make is that our general tickets that we're issuing for Yellow Box junctions, going back to 2012, when they peaked, to now, have nearly halved, or more than halved, if you move from 35,129 to 16,199. In terms of mitigation during the experiment, we've been observing what's been happening in the area, and we've made a couple of changes. The first change we've made, we removed the car club parking bay on Bagley's Lane and Imperial Road. This will allow us to increase space for traffic. We've also introduced a keep clear marking on Bagley's Lane Harwood Terrace Junction that helps to improve traffic flow. We're investigating measures to help residents. We're looking at adjusting signal timings on Harwood Road, New Kings Road Junction to allow residents to leave Bagley's Lane. We're also looking at yellow box junctions at Peterborough Villas and Harwood Terrace junctions with the Imperial Road. This is the vision that the SW6 Traffic Working Party arrived at, and the main objective that we all, there was a general consensus on, was that we would have less traffic through residential roads. And then also there was included in terms of better provision for pedestrians, cyclists. They all said they want fewer accidents, we want cleaner air, better public transport, better access for vehicles with social function, e.g. community transport, good access for Hammersmith Fulham residents, and some live traffic modelling would help using smart cameras. In terms of possible long-term solutions, if you go back and see where I started the presentation from, which in terms of all the traffic that's coming over Wandsworth Bridge Road, one of the clear strategies has to be to how we can manage the traffic that's crossing Wandsworth Bridge Road. And we can do that, but we need to do that in partnership with Transport for London. That we could actually introduce bus lanes, cycle lanes. We could have a raised pedestrian crossing. I know there is a scheme for Wandsworth Bridge Road and Carnworth Road. We could introduce more green time for pedestrian crossing times on Wandsworth Bridge Road. And the second way of actually managing the area would be to actually do some traffic filtering that would protect the residents and protect residential roads in SW6 through traffic calming across Wandsworth Bridge Road would help to deliver the vision that we've actually set out in the previous slide. The lastly, the thing that we could do is look at modal shift within the area, public realm improvements, and the example I've given here is the cycle lane that would be on Imperial Road and Bagley's Lane. The next steps are the decision made by the Cabinet. There's traffic data and analysis we need to be looking at. We need to be looking at the resident feedback, and that will be from SW6 Traffic Working Party, meetings and emails from residents. And that's my presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I will now take four questions, two from both parties. Thank you. Thank you. Let's be polite. Thank you. Please. Councillor, please.
All right.
No interruptions.
Thank you. I didn't know what I needed to press. Mayor.
Would anyone like to ask a question? Councillor Coleman.
Thank you. I wonder if you could say a little bit more about the bus journey times. You touched on those. Is it the case, when you say that we have 25 minutes from a five-minute journey would take 25 minutes and some days and 22 minutes on others, is it the case that you're sort of leaping suddenly from 5 to 22, or is there a period of hours over which the number goes up and comes down? And is that generally reflected every day of the week?
In answer to that question, what we've done is to, in order to enable the presentation to be helpful, otherwise you end up with loads of data, we've actually looked at the individual day and then identified the maximum journey time for that day, and then we've done the same thing for the other days. Obviously, there's going to be some journey times that would be less than the time that's been prescribed, but what we've tried to do is give a flavour of what's happening, and it does vary throughout the day, but would we just pick the worst journey time for every day there was a survey? Yeah.
Any further questions?
The face, there we are. Okay. Certainly for people sitting behind me, I'm Mark Loveday. I'm one of the ward councillors for Parsons Green and Wallam, where Harwood Terrace is located and where many thousands of the objectors to scheme that's been adopted actually live. Mr. Canth, you're aware this procedure that's been adopted at this council meeting is unique, where officers on an extraordinary council meeting where there is a motion put down have been asked to give a presentation with very detailed figures and statistics against a background, and I'm sure you're aware, that there are numerous outstanding Freedom of Information Act requests from members of the public and requests from ward councillors for access to the data that you are giving a presentation on today. What I would want to find out from you is who has made the decision to withhold this kind of data and access to this data until the meeting tonight, giving no notice whatsoever to the public or to ward councillors about this material. Was it a decision made by officers, or was it a decision made by administration councillors? Can you tell me that, please?
Thank you very much, Councillor, for the question. I'd like to assure everybody that this is live data off the press. So we actually got the raw data at the Friday late evening, and that data has been analysed over the weekend. So this data, in terms of the latest data, that was the surveys were done, I think, from the 3rd to the 9th of February. That data was only provided to us in the, as I said, the raw data form, and we still haven't got the final data form, but we've got the provisional report that that's been checked. So.
Holding this data from my constituents and from the ward councillors until 3 minutes before this meeting.
Excuse me, we need to focus on the question, on questioning the officer. I think that's a bit open. Okay. I think that has been answered quite sufficiently. So we have two questions completed. One further. I'm sorry, but this is my meeting, and I will answer. No, that's okay. One further question? Second question. I said two questions per party. Okay. You agree?
We will give our question to the officer.
Thank you. Okay, the final question. Councillor Thornley.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. It's a two-part question, one about the data that's been presented and one about the data I didn't see in the presentation, if that is okay. The first question relates to how you, if you will, compare the data, because you mentioned that a number of roads that were not assessed prior to the closure, residents have now asked for you to assess the impact on those roads. And I was wondering if it was possible really to do that without a control. And the second question on data actually related back to Councillor Coleman's point about bus times. It would be very interesting to see how it went over each hour of the Monday that you were assessing, because I take the point that there could be an outlier of, say, 27 minutes. We'd be quite interested to see that trend. The second question relates to data I didn't see, and it'd be interesting to know what data you hold, if any, on air quality impact and also noise pollution, which are two things that have been raised with me. And finally, having looked at this live data coming in, I'd be interested to know officers' views about whether or not the closure of Harwood Terrace has had a significant impact on traffic flow in South Fulham. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Councillor. In terms of the first question, which is very much about where residents have asked for traffic data to be collected and where we might not have traffic data prior to the closure, I think in those cases, we might not have exactly the same location in terms of traffic data, but we normally have a significant traffic data in the area to make some deductions. And there may be a level of reduction in confidence in terms of that data, but actually you can actually make deductions from other surveys we would have done in the area to deduce whether there's been any significant change in those particular roads, even though you might not have actually done a survey in that road prior to the closure. The example I'd like to give is that, for example, in Wandsworth Bridge Road, we've got the right turn in on traffic, or we might have the junction traffic, and from the junction traffic, you can then work out how much traffic used to go down that road, and it might be dated, it might be, but you can actually make some general deductions from that. That's the answer to the first question, I think. The second question is about air quality and noise pollution. The first point I'd like to make about air quality measurement across London there's a number of factors that can influence air quality across London. The direction of the wind will affect air quality more than the local emissions. If you think about, and also the other thing about air quality monitoring, you need to do it over a longer period. And if you do it over a longer period, you tend to look for trends. And it's trends that we try and look for, because there's always daily peaks and troughs in terms of measurements of air quality. But in answer to your question, we haven't actually undertaken any air quality monitoring data. The reason for that is because we don't think that it will be significantly different as a result of this experiment. So.
Thank you very much. So we've completed the two questions. We will now move on to item 3.1. Thank you very much, Officer. It was agreed, two per party, and Labour or the administration generously shared them with you. So we've covered. Item 3.1, Special Motion 1, Harwood Terrace Closure. I call on Councillors Mark Loveday and Matt Thornley to move and second.
Move. Formally seconded.
I call on Councillors Mark Loveday and Matt Thornley to speak for the opposition.
Madam Mayor, I apologise for stepping out of my seat because the way the seating plan has been arranged uniquely means that I can't actually catch the eye of the public as well. I have put down this motion.
Councillor, you actually need to stand where you're seated. You can turn around and face the residents.
In which case, I wouldn't be facing you either, Madam Mayor, which one's supposed to do. But in any event, I've put down this special motion on behalf of over 3,000 objectors to the temporary closure of Harwood Terrace. We've heard a very interesting presentation from officers, and you've heard my difficulties with the way that this data has come out in such a way that local ward councillors and the public have not had an opportunity to digest this at the beginning of the meeting. But what is unarguable is that there is a major traffic problem in South Fulham. And because not only, as we've heard, of the north-south routes up Imperial Road and so on, Townmead Road and that way, but also the east-west routes running from Putney Bridge through Palace Riverside Ward, Daisy Lane, Studridge Street and that way onto the King's Road and the New King's Road, it is a particular pressure point, and we know it's a particular pressure point because this is in the vicinity of the notorious Money Box Junction, the single largest generator of traffic, of moving traffic fines in the whole of the country. It's been a problem, it's not a recent problem, it's been a problem for decades, and the response has been to rat running and traffic going down streets, very often in the dim distant past, the closure of streets. We've had that in various places, including Bagley's Lane itself in close proximity to this particular road. And as the roads have closed in that area, one after another, it has funneled traffic into a narrower and narrower network of residential streets. And the last one standing is Harwood Terrace. And there's no doubt Harwood Terrace has suffered and suffered badly with traffic over the years. In 2007 to 2009, the council introduced some traffic calming measures, spent £100,000 on traffic calming measures, something that was welcomed by residents, including some of the most vociferous supporters of closure in Harwood Terrace itself, on the basis of a traffic study funded by the GLA, a proper traffic study funded by the money that was provided in conjunction with the abolition of the extension of the sea charge zone at about that time. And that was important because everybody knows, as night follows day, that there are some solutions to traffic management which run a risk. The risks are obvious. When you close a street, there is a risk that the traffic is simply shunted on to other neighbouring residential streets. And you divide communities. You end up with thousands on one side and hundreds on the other who believe that that their position has been compromised. And that is what is wrong. That is what is wrong with this temporary project that you've introduced. It has two faults. There was no traffic study conducted beforehand, no traffic modelling, unlike the previous occasion, and it was divisive of the communities. It shunted traffic onto the other residential streets. Ward councillors were down there last night witnessing the gridlock, the permanent gridlock that you get there as a result of this. This special motion invites you to back down with some dignity on this. It was an ill-conceived scheme, an ill-conceived experiment. You now know it doesn't work. What we want and what residents demand, and thousands of residents have demanded, and many have turned up on the last occasion or on this occasion to demand it, is that Harwood Terrace is reopened to traffic, and that a proper traffic study is done for the wider area to see how we can mitigate the effect of traffic, not only on Harwood Terrace, hard-pressed Harwood Terrace residents, but those across the wider South Fulham area as a whole.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. As noted in the motion before us tonight, I do not dispute the serious problem of traffic experienced in residential parts of South Fulham, and in particular along Harwood Terrace. Indeed, as Councillor Loveday has mentioned, he and Councillor Staton have previously engaged with residents living on Harwood Terrace over a number of years prior to my election as a councillor to seek to mitigate some of the worst impacts of traffic movement on this road. However, one option I do not support, and I know they do not support, is a two-way road closure. To be fair, I have been contacted by residents who have stated what an improvement the closure has been for them. However, based on the information provided to me and from what I have seen firsthand, it is clear that this road closure, whilst positive for some residents, overall has been hugely detrimental to the wider community.
The emails and calls I have received have raised wide-ranging number of objections to the road closure. Clearly, a major and consistent theme has been the impact the closure has had on the wider traffic network, in particular the impact on Imperial Road and Bagleys Lane, but also the surrounding streets. Many people have complained about the increased journey times that they have faced, which we have seen tonight through the data, and the problems this has caused in terms of them getting to work on time, getting their kids to school on time, and also getting home in the evenings to see their other halves. Many have also commented about the impact the road closure has had on the local bus network, and it would have been interesting tonight to see three other bus routes that I know have been affected by this. But particularly in relation to Bagleys Lane, we have seen the buses stuck for incredibly long periods of time, of up to 25 minutes, it seems, forcing many residents, some of whom are very elderly, use the 424 bus, forced to get off and walk to their destination. One of the justifications for the closure, despite the consultation undertaken in February showing a majority of residents opposed its closure, and it should be noted, of course, that only residents on Harwood Terrace were consulted, was traffic accidents. However, the closure has increased the likelihood of a serious traffic accident in the nearby areas. I was sent a video before Christmas by a resident who had sought to record the backlog of traffic at the Bagleys Lane and New Kings Road Junction in the morning. Whilst they were filming, two cars pulled out of their lanes and drove on the wrong side of the road into the yellow box junction, whilst traffic was flowing north, was held at a red light, and then turned into the New Kings Road. Fortunately, on this occasion, no serious traffic collision happened, but it is clear to me that the closure of Harwood Terrace has made it more likely, not less likely, that we will have a serious traffic incident in South Fulham. Residents have also contacted me about noise pollution. One also sent me a video taken from his child's bedroom window at night showing a lot of honking of horns, so it's disappointing, again, we don't have any data on noise pollution in the area. I know the council has set up a residents' committee to review the road closure and ask the residents' views about the next steps. In my view, this is a positive step, and hopefully it will repair some of the damage this closure has brought to community cohesion. However, I do think trying to come up with a solution in such a short space of time risk making the same mistakes that were made prior to the implementation of this closure. Furthermore, I do believe the council does need to show some leadership on this issue. At the last pack dedicated to this, one resident summed up the policy decision facing the council, I thought, very well. He said at the heart of this matter was a choice between increasing capacity on local roads, with the risk, of course, that road users simply fill this extra capacity, hence not alleviating the central problem, or seek to constrict capacity, forcing road users elsewhere. Both options do have their merits, and whilst I personally prefer a solution that enhances capacity, clearly we do need to have a consistent approach across H&F. So it is important the council decides what this approach is. To sum up, I think the council needs to acknowledge that closing the road, however well-intentioned, was a mistake. It should now be reopened with immediate effect, and the council should then, as Councillor Lovejoy said, undertake a detailed traffic study, in my view, over a period of 6 to 12 months. This data will then be able to inform all key stakeholders, including the council, TfL, and I'd also consult with the owners of the Fulham Gasworks site to enable them to work with residents to come up with a revised plan for traffic management for all of South Fulham. The motion before us tonight commits the council to such an approach, and I very much, all councillors, will support this motion this evening. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers?
Madam Mayor, can I move an amendment to the motion understanding order 15E6? What's it? I need to stand up. I'm sorry, Madam Mayor, stand up. Can I move an amendment to the motion understanding, as I am, order 15E6?
15E6. Who'll second it?
Formally seconded.
Thank you. I call on Councillors Ben Coleman and Wesley Harker to speak for the administration.
Your permission, Madam Mayor, may I just allow everybody to receive the amendment
first? Certainly.
Would that be okay? Thank you.
Okay, Councillor Coleman, please proceed. Thank you,
Madam Mayor. Madam Mayor, thank you very much for the opportunity to talk on this amendment. The amendment that everyone's got in front of them now, it seeks to look forward. It has much in common with the original motion, but it makes some significant changes because it reflects the discussions with residents that have taken place since the motion was originally tabled, and also the data that we now have, a lot of which has been shared with you today. You'll note that much of it, it has got the same wording, but the changes it makes, I think, are important. It notes that the experimental closure was a genuine attempt to address the traffic challenges facing Harwood Terrace, and I think it's important that's understood, despite the manner in which it was handled. It's important to note also, in which this motion does, that the Council is interested in working already with residents who are interested in finding a common solution. And that's not all residents, but certainly those are the residents that Council is working with. And that the experimental scheme, we said, has had a serious impact on private, and we wanted to particularly make the point, public transport, because we have heard the impact on the buses up from 5 to 25 minutes, as well as the discussions that increased queues and traffic delays. But the public transport, it's important, the impact is noted, and that's why it's in the motion now. What we focus do on in this motion is focusing on working with residents to find a common solution, one which works, I hope, and we've had a lot of discussion about this, and a lot of the people in the room today were at the meeting that we had, the PAC meeting, a couple of weeks ago, but on working with residents to find a common solution which works for the area, but also to create and implement a long-term vision. And I think, Madam Mayor, if I may say something by way of a mea culpa, my colleagues and I feel that it's very important now that we focus on working with residents. We've heard the message clearly that residents didn't feel involved in the decision to introduce the experimental closure of Harwood Terrace, and I'm sorry about that. It shouldn't have happened. I've said this before, I'll say it again. It shouldn't have happened the way it did, and we don't want anything like that to happen in that way again, so I'm sorry about that. The final decision on the experiment, won't be made tonight, and I think it's important also to bear that in mind when look at our amendment. It's going to be made by the Cabinet. The Cabinet's meeting next Monday, and it's going to be hearing petitions from various parties, some of whom are here tonight. And I hope the Cabinet will take a view, not just that it's crucial that we find a solution to the immediate problem and immediate challenges raised by the closure of Harwood Terrace, which has to be a priority to sort out and is a priority for sorting out, but it's extremely important that at the same time we also sort out the much bigger problem which has been touched on this evening, which is the amount of traffic that the streets in SW6 are expected to cope with. 92%, whether it's 85, 86, 92% of which, by the way, as you heard, comes from outside of the borough, across the Wandsworth, but once with the bridge from outside the borough. Now, we've received a lot of emails. I've had the privilege of working with residents in the traffic working party and ad hoc working party, and all residents I've spoken to have made it clear their desire to see less traffic on the streets. The how we get there is the interesting discussion that we have to have next, but everyone wants to see less traffic on the streets, and that's a challenge which the Council has to meet, and we're determined to meet. And, as I say, it's a challenge we're determined to meet together with residents. And I'd like to put on record here how grateful I am to those residents who've given up their time to meet with me and officers in the past couple of weeks as part of this ad hoc SW6 traffic working party, which has been mentioned. It was a result of the meeting I mentioned a couple of weeks ago here. I chaired a meeting, about 60 people came, we agreed that we would set up a working party, people volunteered, and we selected from among those, because we had 20, 25 people volunteering, and people wrote to me afterwards, to get a balance of streets, and also we included HF cyclists, who are long-standing trusted partners for the administration. And I'm very grateful to the working party. It's not been easy. They've made very thoughtful contributions. I'm grateful for treating each other with respect, even when they disagreed. I'm grateful for them thinking strategically and exploring the long-term problems and the long-term challenges as well as the immediate problem, and also for canvassing the opinions of their neighbours and feeding these back into the discussions. And that's all going to be fed into the Cabinet. And I appreciate also Councillor Thorley's support for the working party. It's much appreciated. I must just mention one final thing, which is all the comments we've had by residents and the public meetings and the working party has all been tremendously helpful, but not all residents have behaved so constructively, and some have subjected their neighbours and some councillors to abuse verbally in meetings online. At first, the intimidating behaviour was just targeted at Harwood Terrace residents. Now it's been they've started to attack residents who joined the working party to try and find a solution, to be constructive. They've called these people traitors. What is going online is wholly unacceptable. This is disgraceful behaviour, and these are not people that I and my colleagues intend to listen to. And I would ask the Conservative opposition, I'll ask you, Councillor Brown, and your colleagues, to make a clear statement to the effect that you join me and my colleagues in the Labour Group in condemning all such bullying. It is not helping us achieve a solution. It is frightening residents who want to behave constructively in taking us forward. So, Madam Mayor, Madam Mayor, it's a forward-looking amendment. We want to resolve the immediate problem and have a long-term plan, and I hope everyone will support us in this. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Harcourt. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Let me begin by saying that the experimental closure of Harwood Terrace was indeed a genuine attempt to address what we say in the motion was a series of really challenging traffic issues in the street. We've seen what the issues were in the presentation, so I'm not going to go over all that data again. Much of that data is new, as Councillor Coleman has just said, and we only got it at the very end of last week. But I want to make it clear, because there's been a number of people saying to the contrary, that the closure was an experimental order from the very start. There was never a decision made on this. The decision on what happens will be made at the Cabinet meeting, as we've already said. Now, many residents, and indeed people, some of those people from outside of the borough, have raised genuine concerns about the effect that the experimental closure has had on their lives. And I've listened to those, I've taken those on board, and I really do appreciate the points made by residents and also by councillors opposite about the consultation and residents not being fully involved as they should have been in that. And that's something, again, as with Councillor Coleman, I accept. And also, you know, I've listened very much to the effects the closure has had on people's lives. I've been down there on myself on a number of occasions, various times of the day, early morning, in the evening, and even on Christmas Eve to see what the effects were going to be. So I do appreciate all the points that have been made over there. We have indeed tried to make some changes. We've put the Keep Clear sign in at the junction of, Peterborough Villas, at Imperial Road and Bagley's Lane, and moved one of the car club spaces. And we're talking to TfL about trying to change the traffic sequences at the Bagley's Lane, New Kings Road junction. Now, as I said, I've listened to all the points raised by the residents and all those emails that I've received, some of the ones that, have not been quite so pleasant from some people. There's a meeting at the council January the 20th over here, and where, I answered over 20 questions, I think it was, something like that, from people. I've taken all those points on board. There's the deputations at the PAC meeting on the 28th of January, and the special PAC meeting on the 10th of February, where every resident who was present, Councillor Coleman made a point of making sure that those who wanted to make a point were able to make their point and be heard. Now, following this, as has just been said, we've set up a resident working group to look at the wider issue and also the immediate issue, how to solve the problem in Harwood Terrace. And I have to say my thanks go out to Councillor Coleman for taking on this particular role. It's not going to be an easy role. It's one where, in many ways, as I found out as well, you can't win one way or the other. It's an unenviable task, I think, is the term for that, or a poison chalice, if you want to use that sort of terminology. So, but the point is that we are determined just to find a common solution to the issues that are raised. Clearly, it isn't going to be easy, as we've said, but we are determined to find a solution to the immediate problem in Harwood Terrace. And also it's important that we take a longer-term view of the whole of that Sands End, South Fulham area, the area that's described in the motion, to look at the whole traffic area and, suggestions that we should be doing major traffic surveys and such like, and data collection as part of that, I'm sure will be part of that particular piece of work. So hopefully we can move this forward together constructively and for the best interests of all people, both those in Harwood Terrace and also those in that wider South Fulham area.
Thank you, Councillor Harcourt. Are there any other speakers? Councillor Loveday?
Yes, Madam Mayor, forgive me, I'm not going to crab in that direction. Two or three points have been raised before I come on to what I want to say about the specifics of this amendment. We accept, I think everybody accepts, that what was done in this experimental traffic scheme was done with the best possible motives. I don't think there's any dispute from anybody. Nobody thinks this was some sort of malicious attempt to do a hatchet job on residents in South Fulham. It's we accept, perfectly accept, that it was a genuine effort to deal with a very big problem. Don't shy away from that. The difficulty was it was done in a ham-fisted way. And you only have to look, for example, of what the previous Labour administration did when it came to the opening of Westfield. And I remember sitting around a new cabinet table when we took control in 2006. It was one of the first decisions we had to make was, do we allow Westfield to open? And we were presented with a brilliant traffic survey done, commissioned by the previous Labour administration on the effects on traffic of opening up Westfield. It was done in advance. It wasn't done once Westfield was opened. You didn't test, it wasn't a study that tested destruction traffic in Shepherd's Bush. It was done in advance, and it was a beautiful document, and it informed us quite properly as to whether it was appropriate to open Westfield. It can be done. It was done in Harwood Terrace itself for the traffic calming measures that were introduced back in between 2007 and 2009. There was a proper traffic study done in advance. It wasn't testing it to destruction. Let's put a cork in the bottle and see whether the bottle explodes. That isn't the approach. That isn't a prudent way of doing it. And with hindsight, that was equally, that was as much of a mistake as the difficulties over the consultation that meant that you excluded, in effect, everybody who opposed the scheme and only took into account those who lived there. Another point that I want to take up what Councillor Coleman was saying. One of the points I made in my earlier speech was that this is really divisive of communities, and it's badly divisive of communities. You mentioned, and I join you in condemning some of the abuse. The abuse has been on both sides. I've got an email here from one of the people sitting behind me at the moment, one of the leading lights of the campaign, in seriously abusive terms. That individual knows who I'm talking about. It's dished out. We've had residents in Harwood Terrace who have come to us and said that they're too scared to speak out against the closure.
Yeah.
It happens. But the reason it happens is that you've split the community in Fulham by introducing an inherently divisive policy. Now, we can't, and I appreciate you've gone as far as you can with this amendment without actually backing down. But we cannot, the ward councillors certainly can't, and I would urge the ward councillors in Sands End at the very least to reject this amendment for the very good reason that it, first of all, doesn't pledge to reopen Harwood Terrace. It does not say that. And that is the purpose of this very meeting and the motion that has been put down.
Yeah, yeah.
And the second reason,
please, the second reason
is there is absolutely nothing in this amendment that pledges for a proper engineering study to work out what the effects of these proposals that you know that you're hoping that residents will come up with. It's all very well asking residents to contribute their ideas. I've heard loads of them, from reopening the barrier at Chelsea Harbour, turnings on from Wandsworth Bridge Road into New King's Road and so on. Lots of ideas.
But without a properly funded and properly organised traffic study, these are just going to create more problems in future. And there's nothing in this amendment that pledges for that. And that's why I cannot support the amendment, although I appreciate you've gone as far as you possibly can politically in the amendment.
Are there any other speakers? No interruptions, please. Madam, please. Any further speakers? Councillor Stainton. Councillor Cowan. Other speakers? Oh, I did. Councillor Cowan, I did.
Right. Thank you very much. I want to urge the opposition to support the amendment and to reflect on what's just been said. I appreciate the lack of trust that residents might legitimately have about our intentions on Harwood Terrace, given where we've got to. And I apologise that we have put ourselves in a position where that has occurred. I appreciate many of you have not felt listened to, and I assure you we have reflected on that and gone to great lengths to do the listening. I can also assure you that we will be making a formal decision on Harwood Terrace next week. And there is a cabinet meeting on the Monday, which I would encourage many of you to come to do, and that's around that time we will be making a decision. So this is not a fudge, and it's not a political trick. This is a sincere attempt to move forward in a way that tries to do the best for the Sands End area. And the data is live, I can tell you, and I appreciate that the previous speaker and other ward not all ward councillors could get to the Policy and Accountability Committee, the Special Accountability Committee, where we invited all residents to come and look at that. But actually, that the data was slightly different there to what is here, because what you see is an evolution in the data as we get more information coming in. Now, there is still more data coming in, and we will have a fully rounded picture by the end of this week, and we will act with a decisive decision about how we move forward. No matter what we do going forward, and as I think the residents who are on the working party understand, there is a commitment to do a comprehensive plan for the whole of the Sands End area. That is a commitment that's been made to the working party, and I would commend my colleague, Councillor Coleman, and also Councillor Harcourt. Councillor Coleman has had 4 meetings with residents so far. Now, whatever people talk about, and I think it's best we don't try and politicise this with what you did when we were in office and when I was in office. Indeed, in my own ward in Beeden Road, we've only just fixed that just in the last month because of some change that caused huge traffic jams throughout Hammersmith Grove because of something the former administration did. It's moot. The reality is getting traffic management right to try and benefit all residents is very difficult. If you look at the map of the borough and look at the Sands End and Parsons Green area, it hangs very close to the A3 commuter corridor. So one of the things this traffic study has shown is between up to 92% of traffic travelling through the side streets of Sands End and heading through Harwood Terrace have been coming from outside of the borough. Now, we all know what it's like with rat running and how specialist that has got with websites like Waze and Google Maps. It becomes very easy to turn a quiet residential street into a traffic rat run. Nobody bringing up a small child wants to see dozens of cars shooting down the streets. But any elected representative will tell you that's what happens all too often now because of the technology. So what we commit to do is an all-inclusive traffic study for the wider area going forward, but we also commit to make a decision on Harwood Terrace. Now, Councillor Coleman was with the working party. Last night he's had four meetings. Whatever we get right or whatever we get wrong, I don't recall any administration in history, Labour or Conservative, going such lengths to correct the listening process. And I commit that's what we're going to do. We will share more information at the Cabinet meeting on Monday, and we will make a decision. I appreciate you might be sceptical of that. I would say bear with us, and we will make a decision, and we will also commit to other actions that seek to reduce traffic and improve the quality of life in all areas. Now, you can believe that, or you might not believe that, but I'm telling you that's the truth, and that's what we're going to do, and there's a few more days left until we make the decision. And on that basis, I would ask you to back the amendment. We will make the decision based on evidence. You've seen the evidence yourselves. There's lots of things it tells us. We will use that evidence as part of this traffic experiment to make a decision, and that will be next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor. Councillor Stainton, would you like to speak? As you know, if the amended motion is carried, then the substantive motion will fall. Would you like to speak? The substantive motion. Would you like to speak? Okay, sorry. Are there any other speakers? So I now put the amendment to the vote. Those in favour? Those against? And those not voting? Just a moment now. Thank you. I hereby announce the outcome of voting. 4, 27, against 10, not voting nil. The amendment is carried. No interruptions, please. Thank you. I now return to the substantive motion as amended. I now call on Councillor Mark Loveday to sum up, please. Any speakers?
So I finally get to speak. I must say, I can see that you are trying now to remedy your mistake, but it has been a cart before the horse operation. To institute measures as dramatic and as horrific as closing Harwood Terrace has been, as my fellow councillor said, very divisive, and this we regret because it's in our ward and we don't like to see people forced into a situation where they're all shouting for what they want. And why do you say, well, why did you do it in this order? Surely these studies now that you brought to us at the last minute, which we were not allowed to see, and certainly the residents haven't seen them either, suddenly these are produced. Well, they're interesting, but they haven't changed the fact that Harwood Terrace has been closed, and that this is causing undue suffering to an enormous area of people. Councillors pleased a few people by inflicting chaos and disruption and toxic air and noise pollution and all sorts of vast amount of suffering to the vast majority, and nobody ever really wanted that. I don't think you even wanted it yourselves. So why on earth did this cart before the horse operation? I don't know. But I think that we do see, having received over 3,000 emails, that residents are calling for help. And what surprises me is that you seem to think that it's the residents that are supposed to provide a solution. Now, surely it is people with the knowledge and ability to do t- testing to death about various options and what their different knock-on effects are going to be, rather than ask the residents. They only know what's happening to them individually. And it's not fair to put the onus on them. It's your duty to do the studies and to find the solution and not to just impose random and single individual things which turned out to be disastrous. So in reality, conditions have changed. There's far more traffic on the roads, and we appreciate that. And the solutions that have been more or less working up to the present, and we certainly try to do some with a lot of measures like making a roundabout and the pinch points and shutting out a south route, they're all out of date. What we need is to reconsider things such as the situation going through down to Chelsea, because they don't want traffic to come through, but they may find that even they would benefit from the fact that traffic has to get through London. We, this borough, is situated between the airport and the city, and people are going to want to come through. We want the through traffic to get through, and we want the residential traffic to be able to do the things that the residents are wanting to do, such as taking their kids to school and home, going to work, bringing all the sort of essential services which they need, such as tradesmen, deliveries, emergencies. That must happen, and it won't with all these individual little blockages that you're creating. It's time to look at new solutions, and certainly one of them has to be a north-south road through all the development that's going on in the gas works area and all along the river. There are thousands of new houses, and many, many cars are going to be coming up. You need a north-south route properly devised, which at present seems to be rather a wiggly thing that may or may not work. And I think it'd be well worth consulting with Chelsea to see if there's any chance of at least not making it a 24/7 embargo on using that route. So I think if we don't think like this, our borough is going to be a place where you don't enjoy living and you don't enjoy working, and you become a black spot. And I don't want that to happen. I think this must be properly resolved. And the only thing I can really agree with in this amendment is that you acknowledge the council's effort to address it, the Harwood Terrace, and the current experiment. Now, you've seen the results of that experiment. You certainly won't want more proof that it's totally disastrous. It's had a serious impact, as you say, on private and public transport in South Fulham. When you go back to the residents, how are they going to make studies about what changing the bus routes would make, or what changing the timing on the traffic lights would make, or shutting this road, shutting that road? This is your job, and you must do it really professionally. It's very surprising that all this detail, which when we asked for it at the council meeting, was unavailable, and we were told it had never been done. Now, apparently, it was done.
Sustainable, could you please wind down? Thank you.
Sorry, my time. Well, there we are. That is what I have to say. I cannot agree with this motion because it does not say they are going to reopen Harwood Terrace, which has been legally designated a strategic entry point. And that's something you've ignored. Thank you.
Councillor Brown. Thank you, Madam Mayor, and I will be very brief. As my colleagues have said, the reason we can't support the amendment is because we do believe that, as the mistake has been recognised, we should go back to the starting point of Harwood Terrace being reopened. However, I do appreciate that with the Cabinet meeting coming up in less than a week's time, and the way that the cabinet model works in local councils, why the administration may wish to make the decision then. The only thing I just want to add, and two things quickly. Of course, I and my whole group doesn't want to see abuse on any side towards councillors, towards residents in particular, and that must cease, absolutely. I also want to, I recognise very much, and from experience in my own ward, Madam Mayor, where, the Cabinet member and Councillor Harcourt, has very much listened to residents and to the ward councillors. I can think of two examples in particular, one on Barclay Road, and another in the Fulham Park Gardens, Burlington Road area, where there's been a much more of a collaborative approach from the onset, and that seems to have worked much better than in this instance when, you know, a decision has been taken, I'm sure, on the guidance of officers, but it's not perhaps taken into account the local knowledge of residents as well as the ward councillors. We of course recognise that this was done in the best intentions, but I hope now on Monday you will come to the right decision to reopen Harwood Terrace and then move forward from there using all the studies that have been discussed and get to a much wider solution, because this, you know, is a particular problem in Parsons Green and Walham and Sands End, but, you know, there are other similar problems in Town Ward, in Munster, Palace Riverside, all across Fulham, really, exacerbated, especially to the west of Fulham, by the Hammersmith Bridge closure and the increased traffic over Putney Bridge and, to a lesser extent, over Wandsworth Bridge. I thank all councillors who've spoken tonight, and, of course, all residents for coming along this evening. I very much hope that the right decision is reached on Monday night.
Thank you, Councillor. Any more speakers? Councillor Carmel.
Thank you, Mayor. I wasn't actually intending to speak on this motion, but having looked at the new substantive motion and comparing it to the one that was submitted by the opposition on behalf of the residents of South Fulham, I note that you copy entirely point one and two of our things, but you are not prepared to admit that our point three, that the impact of this closure has been enormous and divisive for the local community in South Fulham and has generated over 2,000 complaints. Well, I can understand your point why you'd want to amend that, because now it's over 3,000 complaints. But you did a little bit of opaquing of the issue. You go further on to, in your first mention of this council resolves, that the current experimental scheme has had a serious impact on private and public transport in South Fulham. Why is there no mention of the impact on the residents of South Fulham, who are the people who are complaining? I don't think that any of the 3,000 complainants, or a very small percentage of them, are complaining about the impact on private and public transport in South Fulham. It's their impact on the quality of lives, from their areas of South Fulham becoming gridlocked because of this harebrained scheme that was brought in without any proper studies being done beforehand. I will just leave it there. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor. Any further speakers? Councillor Coleman.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Mayor. I just think it's probably worth addressing a couple of things. I couldn't agree more with you, Councillor Loveday, wherever Councillor Loveday is, there you are. What we did was ham-fisted, and we're trying to put it right. And that's what this has been all about, the meetings I've had with the residents, the PAC meeting, and up to that. I do think, though, I take a lot of the points that Councillor Stainton made. The data, as was explained, that you've seen today, came to us on Friday. So you've not been deprived of any of this. We took it to we took an initial analysis to the working party, and we've brought this analysis here, and it's going to be perfectly open for anybody to have. So I hope that reassures you. It's different data from those you were talking about. Where I perhaps differ slightly from you, Councillor Stainton, is that I don't think it is enough to leave it to the experts. And I think actually Councillor Brown said the same thing. He said we need to have residents closely involved. And we do. We need to have residents closely involved. We would be mad to do this without expert input. We need to put the resources in to backing up the residents. But, I mean, otherwise you're just going to get, a heretical thought here. You're just going to get officers making decisions and it wouldn't even involve councillors. Perhaps that would be a good thing. But we do need to have residents closely involved, and that's why the motion, and I take Councillor Carmel's point, but the motion really does go very, very large on reaching a solution which works with residents and for residents. I'd just like to close, a couple of other points. North-South gas works, good point. It could take up to 5 years, but we'll certainly consider that. Chelsea Harbour opening up, very interesting. As soon as we open up Chelsea Harbour, we need to discuss this and look at it. It's a possibility, weighs, spots it, and just throws more traffic into the area. So a lot of things we've been discussing already. There'll be a lot more things to discuss with residents. We've all a lot more expert, I think, than we were a few weeks ago on traffic challenges. I'd just like to come back to one final thing, though, and I think it's important. Councillor Loveday said that there's been abuse on both sides, and I hate to say this because it's been a very amiable debate, really, and there's been a lot of agreement, but that's a bit Trumpian. The abuse on both sides, yes. Both sides have been angry, and they've said some pretty strong things, and particularly to councillors, but that's what councillors are there for. They're there, and I've had some pretty strong stuff, and they're there to take that we're elected to take that. What's happened is there's been absolutely disgusting, intimidating behaviour towards the residents of Harwood Terrace, and now towards residents who've had the, I think, common decency and sense of citizenship to get involved in the working party and try and reach a solution. And can I ask, I notice some people have taped this meeting, recorded this meeting, can I ask if you're intending to put anything online, can you also put online the condemnation that this side of the House certainly makes, both sides of the council chamber have, about the intimidating, shocking, bullying behaviour. And if you could put that online, along with anything else you're putting online, I'd much appreciate it. Other than that, I think we've had a lot of discussion this evening, and I hope I'll see some of you again on Monday, and that we'll find a resolution which is not just for Harwood Terrace, but also for the longer problems which we've discussed, which we're certainly determined to address. Thank you.
Thank you. I now call on Councillor Mark Loveday to sum up, please. Thank you.
For those of you who don't come to council meetings very often, it's a rather odd position that I'm being asked to sum up on a motion which I do not actually support, as it's currently configured. But that's the nature, the Alice in Wonderland nature of some of the proceedings in this building. It's a really hackneyed phrase, Tip O'Neill, the late great Speaker of the House of Representatives, who talked about all politics being local. And there isn't any more local and raw politics, certainly in Fulham, than traffic and the way you get in and out of your house and the way that other people drive past your house and park in front of your house and clog your street up with fumes and traffic generally. That is a raw issue for literally tens of thousands of residents, if not hundreds of thousands of residents in Fulham, and I accept across the borough and across central London. This debate is something of a tragedy in my view. It's a tragedy, and I'm grateful for the recognition by the leader of the council that things may not have been handled well in some ways. The last council meeting where we had dozens of residents turning up to discuss Harwood Terrace and the arrangements were made that matter wouldn't be debated possibly until midnight was possibly a mistake on the last occasion. The way that, and we talked about data, the data has not been made available. And it was mentioned about the PAC meeting. I have, as a member of the council, indeed every member of the public, has a statutory right to access to the documents underpinning the PAC meeting. I specifically exercised that right before the last PAC meeting to see the data. And I was denied access to that data. I wasn't able to be at the meeting itself, but I was denied access to that. And that's par for the course, I'm afraid, with all of this. We've got dozens of outstanding Freedom of Information Act requests about this. It's been handled very badly indeed. But as far as the future, we do hope that you are going to deliver some of the things you promised that aren't in the motion itself at the next Cabinet meeting. But what the residents really want, first and foremost, is for Harwood Terrace to be reopened. And that's what we want the Cabinet meeting to make that decision on Monday.
Yeah.
Reopen Harwood Terrace. And secondly, and we've heard lots of discussion about traffic studies. There are traffic studies and traffic studies. Be under no illusions about what we're talking about and what residents expect. And that is that before you put in any more traffic restrictions or no left turns or no right turns or, heaven's sake, road closures, you model the effect of that. You get an engineer to tell you, if you put in a no right turn, where are those cars going to go? Because I can tell you where they're going at the moment. And the leader of the council said, talked about it being terrible to have dozens of cars shooting down their road. Well, I can tell you that if you happen to live in Peterborough Villas, for example, you would dream of cars shooting down your road because they live behind a wall of traffic backed up halfway along Imperial Road every single day in both directions. They can't get into their homes or out of their homes as a result of what has happened at Harwood Terrace. They would dream of that scenario. So end this tragedy on Monday. I recognise you're going to vote for this motion. It's not a bad amended motion, but it just doesn't deliver what people want and people expect their elected politicians to deliver. And that's why we're not going to vote for this motion, but we fully expect that on Monday you deliver a reopening of Harwood Terrace and a proper traffic scheme for the residents of South Fulham.
Thank you. So dare I ask, is the motion as amended agreed?
No.
So I'll now put the motion as amended to the vote.
Names.
Those in...
Names.
Will councillors please indicate how they wish to vote? Councillor Ahern.
For.
Councillor Brown. Darrell Brown. Councillor Calablandi.
For.
Councillor Cassidy.
For.
Councillor Coleman.
For.
Councillor Connell. For. Councillor Cooper.
For.
Councillor Cowan.
For.
Councillor Culhane.
For.
Councillor Fenimore.
For.
Councillor Harcourt.
For.
Councillor Holder.
For.
Councillor Kwong.
For.
Councillor Morton. Councillor Murphy.
For.
Councillor Perez.
For.
Councillor Kiam.
Sorry.
Right. Councillor Rhee. Councillor Richardson.
For.
Councillor Rowbottom.
For.
Councillor Rosenberg.
For.
Councillor Sanderson.
For.
Councillor Schmidt.
For.
Councillor Sadiq.
For.
Councillor Smith.
For.
Councillor Oberoi.
For.
Councillor Ume. Councillor Vaughan.
For.
Councillor Vincent.
For.
Councillor Alford.
Against.
Councillor Brown.
Against.
Councillor Donovan.
Against.
Councillor Johnson.
Against.
Councillor Carmel.
Against.
Councillor Lloyd Harris. Councillor Loveday.
Against.
Councillor Stainton. Councillor Stanton. Councillor Thorley.
I hereby announce the outcome of voting. 4-27 against 10. The motion is amended, as amended, is carried. That concludes the business for tonight's extraordinary council meeting, and I'd like to thank the residents for attending, and I wish you all a safe journey home. Thank you, everyone.